Good morning. Welcome. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday podcast on the 20th of November, 2024. Brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit them at ffbt.com and stop by your local branch. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller here today with the news, including another Farm Bill update and a preview of the next Commodity Classic event in Denver next year. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says we have weather pattern changes in the forecast that mean cloudy, windy, and colder air coming and some precipitation. And the grain and oil seed markets traded mixed yesterday with only wheat finishing higher. Arlen Suderman analysis is coming on the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
The chances of getting a farm bill done in this lame duck session, and Commodity Classic is headed to Denver. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Earlier this week, Senate Democrats unveiled their 2024 Farm Bill text, led by Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow. But as CJ Miller reports, the Senate Democrats' version may just get ignored at this point by Republican lawmakers.
The reality is it's not going to happen this year. I don't know if it's going to happen early next year.
And that's Kip Thom, former U.S. ambassador to the U.N. Agencies for Food and Agriculture during President Trump's first term in office. He's also a farmer based in Kosciuszko County and has been mentioned as a possible candidate for Secretary of Agriculture. With Trump returning to the White House and Republicans taking control of both the House and the Senate, Thom believes that Republican lawmakers have the chance to get what they want in the next farm bill, as opposed to having to make a great deal of concessions with Democrats.
Obviously, we're taking back control of the Senate. Senator Bozeman will be over there on that Senate Ag Committee leading that. There's no doubt I think he'll push forward to try to get that bill done. I know there's some other potential relief plans being discussed at the moment, go out to farmers to help them fill that gap between now and that time frame and to deal with this year's low commodity prices. But a farm bill is what we need to have, but we need to make sure that it's structured properly.
Thom says that Republicans will be looking to focus much more of the farm bill next year on the needs of America's farmers.
Listen, we all know that farm bill is 83% food assistance and about 17% actual agriculture. We need to make sure we put more farm back into that farm bill. And whether it's in a form of crop insurance, supporting that to a better degree, making sure it's more durable, more reliable for the farmers like ours that buy that crop insurance, we've got to have that. So this is why I say, let's put more farm back into the farm bill. And let's make sure we clean up the food assistance programs that take place in our country today.
After this week, only 3 weeks remain of the lame duck session of the 118th Congress. The 119th Congress will be sworn in January 3rd. I'm CJ Miller.
Commodity Classic is headed to Denver March 2nd through the 4th.
It's the top show in the country when it comes to agriculture. So we want to invite everybody to come, and registration just opened up. So we're hoping that they get online and they register.
That's Ken Hartman Jr., president of the National Corn Growers Association. Commodity Classic is presented annually by NCGA, along with the American Soybean Association, the National Sorghum Producers, the National Association of Wheat Growers, and the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Commodity Classic is touted as America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused agricultural and educational experience. The trade show alone features over 400 exhibitors and more than 500,000 square feet of exhibit space.
When you go to that trade show at our Commodity Classic, it's actually leaders from the industry there when it comes to marketing people from the different companies. There's sometimes some engineering people from the different companies, so you can actually talk to them and find out what's going on with some of the new technology. A lot of them, you know, last year they unveiled some new products. This year I'm sure they're going to unveil some new products at Commodity Classic.
Educational sessions will also take place throughout the three-day event. This will be the first time the Commodity Classic will take place in Denver Hartman explains why.
Well, we've been trying to move around to different areas, and you know, one of the things that people don't realize is we've gotten so big, there's only certain cities we can go to, and this was an opportunity to change venues that could handle us, so that's why we're going there.
Registration is open now, and Hartman encourages you to register by January 15th for the best rates. You can find a link to register on our website, HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Got some changes happening in our weather pattern here today. We dry slotted pretty hard after our frontal boundary moved through yesterday. Today we're watching a low pressure start to park over the northern part of the Great Lakes. It's an upper level low that's going to get cut off from the jet stream. What that means is it's going to sit right here and circulate for today, tomorrow, and Friday into Saturday. That circulation means a lot of clouds, and we're going to see some strong winds. The winds are developing here today. West and northwest winds mean cold air drives down out of Canada fairly hard. Temperatures should move to below normal levels here. First time in a while that we've talked about that. In the cold air, with this moisture circulating around in the clouds, I think we have to allow for lake effect, cloud cover, and precipitation, and it can be both kinds. We can see very cold rain, but I also think we see a decent amount of sloppy, wet snowflake activity. Now, it's not snowflake activity that stays long-term, and I think the best chance of it is either in northern areas near the Great Lakes here in Indiana, or in the overnight period. So I'm not talking about a lot, but it is going to be here. Just get ready. I do think we start to see clouds break up a little bit as the upper level low finally is able to churn away from here later Saturday into Sunday. Temperatures should moderate a little bit as well. And then as we go into next week, we are unsettled. We don't see a lot of sunshine for the week of Thanksgiving. Overnight Monday night into Tuesday, we can see some hit and miss scattered showers, probably a few tenths or less. And then Wednesday, midday afternoon into early Thanksgiving Thursday, we can also see some moisture, and that looks a lot more formidable, anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch with coverage around 80% of the state. Behind that system on Thanksgiving, we start to cool down, and Black Friday on into the start of December looks to be rather chilly here, maybe even with some snow for the 30th into the 1st. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
A sell-off in corn and beans, and the wheat market goes just a little higher. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review. The settlements are on the way. We'll begin with market analysis, and I secured that near the end of the session from Arlen Suderman of Stone X. Arlen, corn a little lower but close to even and working both sides on Tuesday. Wheat a little higher, beans down, and it really seems as though a familiar scene unfolded with corn caught in the middle of wheat and beans going opposite directions. With the case of corn, is that merely not having a story of its own?
I think it is, and we're also getting close to that double top and just below the 435 level for December corn, and so traders a little reluctant to push it up through that level or to that level, perhaps when soybeans have the losses. So it is getting some support from wheat, but it is getting downward pull from soybeans. And so perhaps a little bit of consolidation in here, traded both sides of unchanged today.
Let's talk about the differentials in the bean and wheat markets. Wheat higher, beans lower. Let's start with beans. Why the sell-off?
We have adequate stocks. We have some questions about export demand. We have some questions about domestic demand in the biofuel program. And we have a big crop coming in Brazil right now. As I talk to our people in Brazil, they say the crop looks really good right now. And that crop's going to be starting harvest in another 45 days or so. and with the initial fields being cut. And so traders really reluctant to be long and even starting to build some short positions. On the wheat market, we're seeing some war risk premium come back in. We've hit the 1,000th day of the of Russia's invasion into Ukraine, and Ukraine marked the day with sending some U.S.-made long-range missiles into Russia. And Russia has threatened to escalate the war against Ukraine and the United States as a result. If they thought it would actually be nuclear weapons that Putin has threatened, then I think we'd be limit higher. So I don't think the market believes that. But it does raise the risk as we continue to have this escalating tit for tat that we could see it move on toward an escalated pace of attacking export infrastructure and maybe even ships. Again, it's just a rather modest response to the gains that we saw, but a little bit of war risk coming in on wheat.
No flash sales announced, corn or soybeans, from what I can see on Tuesday morning. Talk about what the demand picture looks like overall at the moment.
It looks real good near term for both corn and soybeans. Soybeans, though, are rapidly seeing their window of opportunity close with the Brazilian harvest just around the corner, whereas corn, I think, has a brighter outlook for longer term demand to be there. That's why traders have been building, managed money has been building some ownership in corn while building some short positions in soybeans.
Arlen Suderman, market commentary. Arlen with StoneX.com. Settlements now from Tuesday trade down 2 cents on both December and the March corn contracts. 427 and a quarter on Dece. March 437 and three quarters. Again, both down two. May, a penny and a half lower, 445 and a quarter. January beans, 11 and a quarter off, 998 and a half, so back down below $10. March beans, 1008 and a half, a loss of a dime and a half. December wheat, 549 and three quarters, up 2.5 cents. Meats mixed, December live cattle, 186.57, up 247, and December lean hogs, 79.55, down 47. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.